Hello and welcome to The Inside Dish on Lehigh Valley Art Salon, where we explore the culinary arts in and around the greater Lehigh Valley. I'm Mike Drabenstadt, your host for our gastronomic tour of our region's amazing food scene. I'm here with Jason Hoy from Tucker, a restaurant with an Australian sensibility that opened this year in the Silk Mill redevelopment in Easton. Jason, welcome to The Inside Dish, and I guess I should say good day, but not as well as you would say it, right?
G'day, thanks for having
g'day,
me.
Yes. Let's get to the obvious question. What is the Australian sensibility that you bring to your restaurant and cuisine?
I think the Australian sensibility is one of freshness, one of fresh food, healthy food, without being puritanical, without being a militant vegetarian or anything else. It's more about enjoying what we eat, but making sure that it's fresh, that it's local, it's sustainable. It ticks a lot of boxes that a lot of places are trying to tick at the moment.
Eating deliciously and eating well.
Absolutely, yeah.
And the word Tucker has special significance too, right?
Yeah, Tucker is an Australian word for food, and it's generally used in a positive sense. So it comes from a thing called a Tucker box, which is like a meat safe used to keep your food fresh in under the seat of your horse and cart, perhaps. And so generally you'll say, I'd like to go and get some Tucker, or that was some great Tucker, or let's go and get some Tucker. It's generally a very positive statement to say, I'm looking forward to eating, I need to eat, I'm hungry, or that was fantastic food.
Well, it has a certain romantic quality to it as well that just the word food doesn't quite accomplish.
Yeah, sure, exactly.
Now, is there other slang we should be familiar with to get in the full spirit of the restaurant?
No, I think the only thing you need to do to be in the full spirit of the restaurant is stop pronouncing a lot of the letter R on the end of food. Just drop that completely and just remove the end of words. So a lamington becomes a lamo. Or, we tend to shorten things down quite a lot.
Well, I know in talking to you and even looking at the website, it's a little bit irreverent, a little bit flip. How do you find the balance between having a personality for a restaurant and not going over the top, or at the same time feeling that you have to restrain it a little bit? How do you express that and bring it out?
That's a great question. I, much to my wife's chagrin, try not to restrain that. I really want to run a place that I enjoy working in, that our customers enjoy working in. So irreverence is key. There's far too many yes sir, no sir, three bags full sir kind of restaurants where someone leans heavily into your table and says, I'll be your server, and recites a menu. We're very relaxed. We're Australian. We come with a little more irreverence. So it's really about saying good day, working them into the place, and then making sure that they feel comfortable like we already are.
Well, there are so many options too with restaurants, both with locally owned places and chains, that I imagine that helps foster a personal relationship with some of the people that come in. That'd be all important.
Absolutely. That's the reason we're in Easton as well. There's a really strong sense of community in Easton, to the point we had 30 people we barely knew show up and help, you know, paint and hammer and set the cafe up the weekend before we opened, just to get all the finishing touches on it.
That must have felt both rewarding and encouraging, that you know you're in the right place and I think this place is going to do well.
Absolutely. We chose Easton because of that, because we love the town and the way that people respond to you just walking down the street. And we've seen that since the day we opened. We've always got a really great local crowd, and that sort of draws people from other parts of the Lehigh Valley as well.
And at your location at the Silk Mill in Easton, you're not the only food purveyor too. You're part of a little growing, even a small neighborhood and community there.
It's actually becoming a large neighborhood and community. There's a lot going on. There's Boza Guys Brewery. There is a Separatist Beer Project that used to be called Soul Ales. We also have a great art gallery, which is called Brick and Mortar. We have Oh Wow Cow Ice Creamery opening up in the next month.
We just had them on the show a little bit
ago.
Yeah,
so they must be excited by that, I'm sure. We also have an Indian restaurant opening up, which sounds fantastic. Elevated Indian. Which is, a little, rather than curry in a hurry, I'm really looking forward to that. There's a lot happening.
Tell me a little bit about your background and training. Is this your first restaurant, your second? How'd you kind of get into this business?
This is my very first restaurant. I got into this business by being a student of marketing and becoming a copywriter for maybe 6 months until I realized just how much I hated marketing and went back to selling wine. I've been selling fine wine all my life for the last almost 30 years. I ran the best wine store in Sydney, in Australia, for about 10 years, which afforded me the ability to eat really well, to eat out very well, to host a lot of wine dinners, to be a restaurant reviewer, to travel the world and eat. So that's probably the crux of how I ended up here. The other part is my beautiful wife worked for a food magazine, a great food magazine in Australia, and we sort of blended those two lifestyles, my wine, her food, and it just works quite well.
So talk about some of the dishes that guests can expect coming to Tucker?
Sure. We have a few, I would say, cliched dishes just to keep people happy. So we'll make sausage rolls, which are like a sausage mince with maybe made from lamb and harissa, which we roll in a puff pastry and bake in the oven. We have meat pies, which again you'd call a hand pie here, but they're a little more sort of compact and a bit more substantial than just a hand pie. We have cakes and treats like pavlovas, which is a meringue, and lamingtons, which are a sponge cake. But we also have a lot of dishes that we take from, I guess, current inspiration in Australia, and the current food scene in Australia is one of very Middle Eastern flavors, very fresh, vegetable forward kind of meals. So salads is definitely our strong point, but not just a iceberg lettuce with, you know, sort of a blue dressing, really, you know, sort of salads that feel like a full main meal rather than something that doesn't.
Now, has the cuisine over in Australia evolved over the years? I imagine before transportation was easier, it being a very large continent or island, I don't know, debate-wise, what people would call it, a continent for you or island?
I call it a continent or an island. Okay, I don't think no one really cares.
Could
in Australia, either. We just call it Australia.
Right.
But it
is kind of there in off of Southeast Asia. So there's probably
exactly
Asian influences,
right,
but also probably influences from England and the UK, no?
Yeah, so England and, well, I guess United Kingdom, that food influence has sort of hung around but is disappearing. And it really sort of was there in the 50s, but already the 70s and the 80s changed completely. So the major themes in food are definitely Chinese, Cantonese or Hong Kong, Vietnamese, Malay. There's an amazing array of Asian cuisine in Australia, and that dominates our national diet these days, as well as a really strong Middle Eastern influence, definitely Lebanese, and a very strong Greek influence. So Melbourne is the second biggest Greek city in the world after Athens. So we have great access to things like that. Half of Eastern is related to half of Sydney, the Lebanese population. They all have cousins living in Sydney. So we have this great access to za'atar and berber and all these amazing spices that we get to use with our cooking as well. So there's, a really broad array of things we can choose from.
And I noticed you do have a number of Asian-inspired dishes on the menu, such as...
Absolutely. I mean, it changes all the time. We are not the restaurant to laminate their menu and set it there for 6 months. It gets reprinted every couple of days. So we buy all our product fresh. We change very quickly. So we, a few weeks ago, would have had a za'atar roasted carrot salad with green lentils, and we have an Asian noodle bowl at the moment with buckwheat noodles and some really Asian flavors, so rice wine and mirins and things like that mixed through there. So it's always changing.
Now, you open for breakfast, dinner, or breakfast, lunch, and dinner, or just breakfast, lunch, or you're kind of doing some special things?
Yeah, so we're breakfast and lunch, but it's more of an all-day menu, but we are starting to do pop-up dinners come Friday nights in the near future. Our first dinner is this Friday. It's a joint dinner with Separatist Beer Project. But we will be doing that, and hopefully within 12 months we'll have a license, and we intend to be something very different in the evenings. We intend to be a wine bar with a completely different menu and a different feel.
Well, certainly with your background, that'd be very appropriate.
We're confident.
A lot of restaurants are, they're sourcing responsibly grown ingredients, either local or organic. And we talked about doing that a little bit earlier, and I always like to get insight on why that's important to you.
Yeah, it's important to us because it's a very small planet and it's starting to come back and bite us. And I think we should be biting into things that are ethical and responsible. So my wife, apart from being in food, was the editor-in-chief of Organic Life magazine. So we have to put our money where our mouth is. But also we don't have any plastic takeaway containers or any plastic straws. We have everything recyclable and we charge people for a takeaway cup if they come in. We want people to understand there's a cost involved with the choices that they make. So we're not going to be militant and preachy, but we're just very casually being responsible.
Well, I think being responsible, but also educating as well.
That's
to
exactly right.
The impact that the food and everything that goes around it has on the planet, on
absolutely
their life.
Absolutely. Yeah, yeah.
What are some of your favorite food and drink destinations in the Lehigh Valley, considering you're a relative newbie here?
Yeah, sure. I guess where do I go versus... there's a fantastic selection of... South American Hispanic food that is to be found. There's a really great little hole in the wall place called La Plaza in Easton that I love. I was at Molinari's on the weekend, so there's actually some really strong Italian here as well. I'd rather sit at a bar somewhere like Belit and have the burger than go for the full experience. I think I've eaten too much food in my life to want to really plow into it. But their other operation, Mr. Lee's Noodles, is great to get a really good bowl of ramen on a winter day. That's really satisfying. So I find myself there on a regular basis. But there's no shortage of choices. And Easton as well, I can walk out of my front door in downtown Easton and every night choose somewhere different. That's why I'm living there.
Well, for those of us who have been in the Lehigh Valley for a while, it's almost odd and refreshing to hear someone say that. You've lived in Sydney.
Yep.
You've lived in New York City.
Yeah.
And you're here in Easton and you say, I have an abundance of options right out my front door.
Well,
and that's one of the reasons we have the show.
Well, it's getting better and better. I'm not going to say it's astronomically good. I'm saying that there's more and more choices, and the more you scratch beneath the surface, the more you find. What I love is driving around the Lehigh Valley to places like Dietrich's Meats for their small goods, or to Hartmann's in New Tripoli for their Landjäger, which is out of this world. The nesting box for our eggs out in Kempton. Like, we range all over the place, and there's always somewhere doing something fantastic, a piece of produce that you didn't expect to see. And I think that's the thing I like about the Lehigh Valley.
Now, are you doing a lot of the menu development and some of the cooking there as well? And if so, what kind of training did you have with that? Or are you giving instruction to people who are helping to cook? Tell me a little bit about the hands-on aspect of it.
Absolutely. So we're all involved. It's a small business. We pay every single person in our restaurant a living wage, which is about six times what normal restaurants pay. And I mean, if people tip, that's great. And we distribute it evenly between the kitchen and the front of the house. Everyone does everything. So our kitchen staff are happy to walk out and look after a customer. And our front of house staff are quite happy to run in and bake a batch of scones when we need to in the kitchen. And we ask everyone to be responsible and have some ownership. So yes, I teach them how to make lamingtons or scones initially. And we have little chest puffing competitions on who makes the best ones. But we definitely all get involved. We have some really nicely skilled chefs, but we collaborate and work together. It's a family that discusses everything.
That sounds like a great atmosphere to both work in and visit.
Yeah. My staff are generally really, really happy, and they enjoy working with us, yeah.
Jason, if people want to find you on the internet, website, social media?
Tucker Silk Mill, tuckersilkmill.com, at Tucker Silk Mill on Instagram and Facebook and Twitter. Yeah, we're all over it.
Jason, thank you for joining us here at WDIY.
My pleasure.
I'm Mike Drabenstadt, and this is The Inside Dish on Lehigh Valley Art Salon.